Textual studies can be very profitable, and you'll find them to be some of your more favorite studies to do. Now, topical ones, we have mentioned before, sometimes topical ones, it's what we're more accustomed to doing maybe, and sometimes they can be a little easier to do than a textual study. Usually when you are doing a textual study, you've really got to dig in to the text, because the idea is you're not trying to run all over the Bible and just choose a verse from here and a verse from here and a verse from here. You're trying to say, here's what this text says. And so sometimes it's going to take a little bit longer to dig in and understand exactly what it's saying. But here's a topical study. And what is a topical study doing? You're trying to uncover what does the Bible say about a particular Bible topic. And how do you go about teaching something like that? What's the first thing we always do? All right, that's number one. It's been number one on almost every class we've had, I think. Maybe all of them, I don't know. You can count on it being number one the next class we have, unless we just totally fail in remembering to put it on there. But why is this the first thing? This is the most important? What? Why is this the first thing you do? What are you going to do without God's help? Whose word are you teaching? You're teaching His word. Wouldn't it be good to talk to Him about it? And ask Him for some help and ask Him for guidance. Shame on us if we think we don't need to do that, or shame on us if we get so busy. I just got to throw something together. I don't have time to pray about it. Well, you're going to, we'll see how that lesson turns out. At the end of it, it may sound good and feel good, but the reality is, this isn't about us. We are trying to change people's lives with the Word of God. And if we think we can do that without God, then we're not understanding what our purpose is. So, first thing we do is pray. Now, second thing we do, again, might be kind of obvious, but it is, what's my subject? What is it that I'm going to teach? If you're asked to teach here... Let's state it this way. If you are asked to teach a series of classes, if you're asked to teach for a whole session or something like that here, usually you are given the materials. You know what you're being asked to teach. Usually you're not going to be asked, hey, will you teach a junior high class? Great. Teach them whatever you want to teach them. That's not our general operation here. Usually, hopefully, and always, when you're asked to teach here, you are going to be supplied with the topic, the text, and the materials by which to teach it. The exceptions that I can think to that are if you are asked to fill in for a class. If the teacher's going to be gone and you're asked to fill in for a class, sometimes the teacher will ask you to teach a specific thing, like Paul taught last week, and I asked him to teach a specific thing about prayer in the class. But a lot of times, if you're asked to fill in to teach, it's just going to be, look, you're willing to teach? Wonderful. Teach whatever you want. It's up to you. And the idea there is you take something you've already taught, something that you've been working on your own, something you're already familiar with, and prepare it for that class. So then that's when you've got to figure out, okay, what am I going to teach? What Bible subject am I trying to look at? And remembering that, as we've said before, you want to teach something that fits you. And you want to teach something that fits whoever you're talking to, whoever you're teaching. You can't teach something that you don't know or isn't really comfortable for you. And you don't need to teach something that's not relevant or something that's really going to have an impact on those that you're teaching. Sometimes that's determined by what age group you're teaching. Now, when you choose your subject, even more important, once you've chosen the subject that you're going to teach, just as important as the subject itself is fine-tuning that subject and narrowing it down to something that's manageable. Let's suppose you were going to teach on grace. You were going to teach on the subject of grace. That's a huge topic. What are you going to do in 40 minutes on grace? I mean, grace is a series of classes itself. You've got to narrow that down. If you were asked to teach a class and the subject was even baptism, okay, that's a little more narrow, but okay, I'm going to teach on baptism. What about baptism? There's 100 verses in the New Testament about baptism. You're going to cover every single one of them in 40 minutes? So you've got to take whatever the subject is, narrow it down to something that you can manage. And that sometimes that's a hard thing to do, but it's critical to do in your preparation. Otherwise, your study is all over the place. If you're going to study, what does the Bible say about grace? Wow. You're going to be looking at every story in the Bible. You know, you're going to be looking at every occasion in the Bible. The whole Bible is about the grace of God. So you've got to fine tune, narrow that down to a subject that you can handle and is something that can be covered in a short amount of time. Fourth thing is determine before you set out in your study, determine that you are going to let the Bible draw its own conclusions. That may seem obvious, but too often we already know what we want to teach. We're just going to go to the Bible to find the verses to prove what we're going to teach. I already know what I'm going to say. Now I just need to go find some verses so it sounds like, you know, the Bible's kind of going along with what I've got to say. That is so backwards. That is coming in the wrong door and going in the wrong direction. It is not, well, I've got to go find those verses that fit what I'm saying, and then the lesson will be done. Go into the study, even a topical study, and let the Bible draw its own conclusions. Let the Bible do the teaching. Isn't this what we tell people when we're, you know, isn't this what we tell unbelievers when we're talking to them? You know, don't believe what I say. Don't believe what the preacher says. Don't believe what, you know, something you've read online says. Let the Bible speak for itself, right? Let the Bible draw its own conclusions. Well, if that's what we encourage others to do, then we need to do that instead of, you know, getting the Bible to fit what we want. And really, it will enrich your study if you let the Bible do the teaching. If we already know what we're going to say, then we're not allowing the Bible to come out and really impact our study. Any comment? Those first four are kind of general and maybe obvious to you, but any comments on any of those? There was silence for half an hour. Nothing at all. Okay. Perfect. Okay, number five. Now you're going to do your study. You've narrowed your topic. You have a mindset. I'm going to let the Bible do the teaching. Now you start your study. What do you do? It's a topical study. So you're not just digging into a paragraph or a chapter. You are surveying the entire Bible. So you've got to gather all of the relevant Bible passages on a Bible subject. Now, If your subject is grace, how many Bible verses are you going to have on grace? Too many. Absolutely. Too many. You've got to narrow that down. Now, I know that you all know about concordances. I didn't bring any concordances in here. You know what a concordance does. Let's say we were going to teach on the need for humility among God's people. Now, you could go to a concordance. What sort of words would you look up in a concordance to teach on humility? Humility. Humble. Do we run out? Meek. Kind. Say it. Lowliness. Submission. Say it. Servant. Tenderhearted. Okay, so You've taken your word humble, your humility, you've expanded it to some synonyms. Now, if you look up, how many did we say, seven or eight words there? If you look up in a concordance all seven or eight words there, how much are you going to have? Tons, which is great. What you want in preparing a lesson is you want more material than what you have an opportunity to teach. You don't want to walk in with not enough. You don't want to be done in 7 minutes. Say, well, that's all I got. that's a little embarrassing. And you're wasting a collective amount of time. So you want a lot, but okay, so now I've looked up in a concordance. Now, there's two books, and I didn't bring in enough for everybody to see, but maybe if you're nice enough, you can share. The Thompson chain reference that, who in here owns a Thompson? Anybody own a Thompson chain reference? Those babies are, those are awesome, okay? Those are like the Bible the Bible to have if you're going to do, if you're going to be a teacher. Get where you can see a Thompson, and let me see if I can find something real quick. Turn in Thompson. The page number is going to be 1807, if I looked at it right. So down on the bottom of the Thompson chain reference are the page numbers. Look at page 1809. Look at page 1809. And the page numbers are at the bottom of the page. Here's our topic. Here's our topic of humility. Now, what we want to do is we want to do a topical study. We're trying to do a topical study of what the Bible says about humility. Now, here's what Thompson does. If you're on page 1809, look back at page 1808, and these are Thompson's numbers. You see number 1714, his number 1714 on page 1808. Hopefully everybody were together on this. Tim, I mean, if y'all want to scoot up and look at these so that you're together. Here's Thompson taking a Bible subject. You can go to a concordance and you can find all of these verses. What Thompson does is he takes some of the Bible verses and he groups them together into topics, taking a topic and even dividing that topic out for you. And so look at 1714 where he gives you verses about the promises to those who are humble. Then in 1715, he gives verses where humility is prescribed, where God commands us to be humble. Then in 1716, he gives us Bible examples of those who demonstrated humility. In 1718, he gives the ultimate example of Jesus being humble. In 1721, he gives other examples of people who were humble at the feet of Christ. And then you go into the next page, and he gives the opposite of humility, and he talks about pride. So let's suppose you're going to teach a class. You're going to do a devotional. You're going to speak on the topic of humility. You can grab a concordance, and you can look up humility, a humble, and as many synonyms as you can come up with, remembering that depending on what concordance you're looking at. Now, if you use an online concordance, you can look up whatever translation you want. But remembering that different translations will have a different word, you know, and so you use an online translation and you find all of those. But there are some topical reference books, like the Thompson chain reference, that can really give you a shortcut in your preparation time. I love Thompson chain and what he does in that, because now, that doesn't mean you don't use your concordance. That doesn't mean you don't look stuff up on your own and you know, just, Thompson did this, so I don't need to do anything else on it. Remember that even when you come to Thompson, this is a man who decided how to take a topic and divide it up and what verses he thought would fit with that topic. Could there be some problems with it? Could there be some inconsistencies? Yeah. You know, he's not going to mess up too much on the topic of humility. You know, it's hard for somebody, you know, a Bible reader to mess that up. But when you get into some of the other topics, you know, you're going to find even some errors in the way that he would group things together. But here's a great way. Now, if you'll notice, I don't know that I want to teach how to use a Thompson chain. But if you will notice, 1714, 1715, 1716, those numbers, there are verses there that are in bold. Those bold verses are the ones that are printed out in their entirety below. But the ones that are not bold are other verses that he thinks fit in this topic that you would need to go and look up, because he doesn't have them printed out below. So that's going to require some effort on your part. But if you were to actually go, and we won't look at how to use a Thompson chain reference, but it's a great, he obviously starts with the first verse in a particular chain, and then in the margin next to each one of those verses, he's going to say, okay, look here next, look here next, look here next, look here next, and just create a chain for you to follow. A great Bible study tool. Now, yeah. Go ahead.
Before number one, in Thompson's listing here, there's a list of every topic that is discussed. So, you just go at the start of it, at the preamble to this section of the book, there's a topic, and there are over 4,000 topics he discusses. It's a fabulous thing. It's
yeah. You just turn to the book of Revelation, and then you turn a couple pages after the book of Revelation, you find the alphabetical index. And you just you scour the index to find whatever topic you're looking for. And if you don't own one, they're not cheap. It depends on what you want. Hardbacks that are there. Obviously, those are the cheapest that you could buy in a hardback, maybe all that you need. There are also in some Bible software, some of the Bible software that you can buy for your computer will have Thompson chain reference numbers in it. So you could also use it there. I don't find those to be nearly as helpful as just using this right directly to it. But this is a great study tool. The other one that's on the table is called Knave's Topical Bible. I personally don't find that to be as useful. It can be. If you get the right topic, it can be helpful. Problem is, sometimes the topic I'm looking for, he doesn't touch. That's another one that groups topics together, pulls verses together on various topics. Because when you're looking at concordance, you're not looking up a topic, you're looking up specific words. And so if you don't happen to think of the right word, you won't find the right verse. That's why these topical books are very helpful. How many of you have Ready Reference for Growing Christians? Not very many. Good. Everybody can have, well, not, maybe I don't know if everybody. Whatever is here is all that I have, so this is what you all get. If there's not enough here, then you're out of luck. I'm going to order some more, but that's all I had. That's all I had on hand. Those are great books. Paul Sane, who has been on our lectureship, who's in Tennessee. He worked with the East Hill congregation up there for over 30 years. This is a great little book that, in this particular edition, there are 100 Bible subjects. He has a hardback version of this that has 120 in it. But there's 100 Bible subjects in here. He takes the subject, he divides the subject out into its major points, and then he gives the verses that would go along with that, along with kind of a 5 or 6 word summary of that verse. But if you're not familiar with this book, it will become one of your favorites in your Bible study. Because again, he's taking a Bible subject. You know, you look at heaven, you look at hell. I don't know if he's got humility in there. I didn't look it up. But you find the Bible subject, and it's helpful for preparing Bible classes. It's helpful for when you're in a Bible and you're in a Bible discussion with somebody, and you can't remember where is that verse that says that all liars will go to hell. How do I help somebody to understand that baptism is essential, or whatever it is? There's all of the subjects in there. He's got some stuff at the back. I can't remember what all he's got at the back. Some neat charts, some questions you can ask various denominations and different things. But that's a really cool study tool that is great. We try to give it. We try to make sure that our students have it. At some point, it's given to them. At least they have the opportunity to get it multiple times while they are students here. But if you know of people that should have one of those, you can order it. You can order it directly from same publications. You can order it from Gospel Advocate. You can order it from any Christian Church of Christ bookstore, not Barnes & Noble or Inspiration House, but Fried Hardeman Bookstore, or just go online and you can find it. But they are a great study tool, and those are for you to have, and order some and give them to your kids and other people. You'll find those to be very helpful. Oh man, we're out of time. So some other helpfuls. I don't know if, and I have one of these, so here it is. Nichols Pocket Bible Encyclopedia is, before Paul Sane came out with his, this was like the only thing of its class. And this is a little bit older. This is probably from the 40s or 50s. But he takes again Bible subjects that he treats them a little bit differently than the ones that we've looked at here. These are still in print. They're charging an arm and a leg for this little book. I think they're charging like $4 now, which I think is ridiculous. But it may even be $5. I don't know. But this is a very helpful little tool. I think, is it on your, did I print, give this on your list? Nichols, is that on your list? Do I can't remember if those are listed there. Another good source for you are just Bible tracts. It's two pages of great material usually that really can take a topic and divide it out for you. We have, I don't know, we've probably got 300 tracts back in the track room. Now there's 20 of them that, you know, will be on display out in the lobby. But if you know where our track room is, it's on the opposite of the baptism side of the auditorium. So we send people to the right to be baptized and send people to the left to not be baptized. But in there are 300 something tracts. There's little yellow binders in there that have all of the tracts listed, and they're in there by alphabetical, by author, and by topic. So if you're looking for a specific topic, the tracts have been categorized by topic. You can look up that topic, and the tracts are in there by number. Very easy to find tracts. But a great way to get a real easy snapshot on a particular Bible topic. So when you're asked to teach, most of the time you're going to be given material to do it. But even if you are not, there are multiple sources that you can use right here that you've got an opportunity to use and take and develop your lessons. And that's in addition to some of the other online sources that we have listed on other handouts. Other points on this is to make sure that you look up all the, I guess these weren't up here, but these are on your sheet. Look up all the relevant words and synonyms. Look up every possible verse that, you know, try not to leave out a key passage on something. Make sure you keep every verse in its context. Sometimes you'll find a verse that the wording is great, except that's not, what you may want it to teach is not what it's teaching. You know, you may be teaching a class on the difficulties of being a Christian, or the trials that come upon being a Christian, and you may run to Matthew 24 and talk about, you know, we're living in a day and age where there's greatest tribulation ever, and there won't be anything else like it again. And well, no, that wrong. I mean, out of context. Yeah, that's what Matthew 24 is saying, but that's not talking about what we're going through. But it's a great chapter that talks about tribulation, except the immediate application is not for us. So try to make sure you keep things in their context. And remember, Psalm 119, verse 160. The old ASV, and maybe one of the other translations too, maybe, I don't think ESV, but the old ASV said, "The sum," S-U-M, "the sum of thy word is truth." Meaning, when you gather all that the Bible says on a subject, you've got all the truth that there is. Now, is faith essential for salvation? Yeah, it's essential for salvation. If I teach that faith is essential for salvation, and that's all that we need to know, it's truth that faith is essential for salvation. But have I gathered all that the Bible says about salvation if all I'm doing about salvation is teaching that you've got to have faith? I'm teaching a truth that salvation requires faith, but I've got to gather the sum, S-U-M. The problem is that some people are more inclined to teach the S-O-M-E of truth and say that's the conclusion that we draw, but we've got to teach the S-U-M. Let's draw it all together. And obviously that's going to take a little bit of time and effort on your part. Any comments? Any comments on this point? This is where you're going to spend a lot of your time in this particular part of the study. Number six, and we're gonna speed through some of this. I got 7 minutes, and we don't have time to come back to this later. Number six, define key terms. That's for you and for your class. If you're going to teach sanctification, you're going to teach justification, you're going to teach grace, you're going to teach whatever Bible words, define what those words mean. Don't assume that you know what they mean. Don't assume that people in the class know what they mean. Number seven, look for biblical examples that relate to the subject. This is a great way to make your class, the lesson, come alive. If you're going to teach humility, what about giving some Bible examples of humility? You know, you teach the principles, you teach the instructions of humility, and then you say, now here's a picture. You know, why was show and tell so great in kindergarten? Because you could tell and you could show. And when you could show it, now I know what you're saying. When you teach about humility and then you show it, now I get it. So look for those Bible examples. Number seven, after you've done all of your study, after you've done your homework, you've gathered all of your relevant Bible material, look over it, examine it, organize it, and then, as 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 would say, handle it aright, which simply means don't draw conclusions. Don't draw conclusions that the texts and the verses don't warrant. Don't try to make them, like using Matthew 24, don't try to make them say something they don't say. You know, we want to do that sometimes because we want to make our point. But don't force the Bible to make some point that the Bible doesn't make, particularly in a given passage. But what are the logical, I think A, B, and C are under your, are they on your sheet on letter A? What are the logical, or A and B maybe on your sheet? What are the logical main points? What are the conclusions that are demanded by the passages? Number nine, group your findings into your major points. Now this is what you did on your textual studies, now you're doing it on your topical study. What are the main points that are going to be drawn out about humility? God demands it, God rewards it, God gives examples of it. There's major points about humility, and then everything can fit in underneath that. Number 10, and number 10 could come before number 9, depending on where you are in your preparation. As much as we're going to tell you to pray before every lesson, we're going to tell you, write a thesis statement. The thesis statement says, what are you trying to accomplish with this class? You got to have it. Otherwise, you're going to be all over the place in your preparation. Your thesis statement helps you to stay focused so that when you find a verse that's a really neat verse and you've never seen that verse before and it says something that's really cool, but it doesn't fit your thesis, have to use that one later. But what we do sometimes, we find something and we want to cram it in. All right, I'm going to make this fit in this class somewhere, somehow, and it doesn't fit, and you get off course. You know, you start chasing down a road that's not on your humility topic. It's about something completely different, but it's really cool. Either rewrite your thesis and redo your entire lesson to fit what you found that's really cool, or take the really cool thing, put it aside and say, I'll do that later, and stick with your thesis. That thesis is your mothership in this whole thing. It is keeping you focused and on target. Number 11, saturate your lesson with Bible verses. This is not your lesson, this is God's lesson. Let his word do the teaching, and this is where you will allow those verses to create your sub-points underneath your main points. And then number 12, make applications. Let people walk out of there with relevant, everyday-to-life material that they can put into practice right then. You know, when you teach on something like humility, you might think, well, the application is obvious. Well, it is. but help it to be even more obvious. Give them practical ways to put that into their lives right then. How can I take humility and be more humble right here and right now? I've sped through this, and number 13, we've mentioned this almost every week, and we hardly ever take time to develop it, but that's critically important. You need to have an introduction and conclusion. You need to make sure you have a period of application in the lesson, and then obviously your major points. Any comments or questions on any of that? Mike? Right. Absolutely. Well, you can, absolutely. But the idea here is that this lesson needs to be, here's what the Bible says about this. And you need to make sure that it does not come across as this is what I have to say about it. Here's what Brother So-and-so says about it, because he said it in his book, and so it must be right. But here's what the Bible says about humility, and draw those things out. And yes, you're right. There has to be balance. You cannot. And the idea of saturation is that you'll know it when you see it. You'll know if your lesson is saturated with the Bible or not. If you only have a couple verses in there, then you're not covering it. All right. Let me quickly give you your. Your assignment for tonight, for this week, is to develop a topical lesson. Now we've given you a selection of topics on here. If you have a different topic that you would really like to cover, go for it. As long as it's within the realm of reasonableness. You can go for that, but here's what we would like to do: is for you to take a Bible topic, to do what we've done tonight, try to narrow that down into something that's manageable. Gather what the Bible says about it, organize the thoughts, and then write your thesis statement and your major points. And next week, what we would like to do is what we did last week and what we finished with tonight. Is to give you an opportunity in a brief way. You won't be able to share everything about what you have found, but be able to share in a brief way. Here's the topic I chose. Here's the thesis statement that I determined to keep my lesson focused, and here are the major points that I found for that particular topic. And so, I know all of this is very fast. We're trying to cover a lot of material in this, but you want to wrap it up?